Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Big Noon Kickoff presents Bear Bets. I'm your host, the Bear, Chris Felica, along with Jeff Schwartz, Sammy P. Will Hill will join us for the gambling group chat in a bit. Conference championship weekend is here. And in support of my friend, my colleague, and my co-host, Jeff Schwartz, I am wearing green. It's a little bit more of a classic, like kind of early 90s kind of Oregon color here. But as holder of an Oregon future ticket, a couple of them in a very nice 35-1, 30-1.
It's way more comfortable doing the podcast like this.
It's cooled off a little bit in here, so you should throw that jacket on. How are we feeling?
I want this game to freaking get here already. Like, come on, let's play. I'm excited, man. Look, I know Oregon's a big favorite. Maybe it gets a 10, maybe it doesn't. But I mean, they're telling you obviously that Oregon is better. Doesn't mean you win the football game. But look, the Washington thing ends at some point, right? Where you win, they played 19 straight games. They've won 10 of those by eight points or less. They've won, I think, 7 straight games now by 10 points or less. Yes, there is a quality to winning football games close. Like there's certainly a quality to that, Bear. But eventually that quality is the Minnesota Vikings in the playoffs against the Giants last season.
I was going to say TCU last year.
I looked it up. TCU only won 5 games last year by eight points or less. Georgia. And they're 41-1 in the last 42 games, which is just an insane amount of wins. They've only played 5 games, Bear. 5 games that have landed with under 8 points or less. They're 5-0 in those games. The one loss was the Bama SEC Championship game. They lost 41-24. Like, a lot of teams that finish 12-0 do so by dominating their opponents. Washington hasn't done that. Now, Washington has Rome Odunze and Michael Penix. Like, at any point, they could just throw the ball back, back into a football game. But have we seen the offense the last 2 weeks?
Well, I've seen
22 points against the Beavers 2 weeks ago. Now, that was in the rain, but here's the thing. Bear, they scored 22 first-half points in the rain, 0 in the second half, and 24 in the Apple Cup last weekend. The offense is not the same. It has not played as well the last 7 games. Penix is averaging 59% completion percentage over the last 7 games. So I just think Oregon's better. I mean, look, they can still lose the game, certainly possible, because that's football, and that's the way it works. But also, there's a scenario where everything that sort of has gone Washington's way doesn't, and Oregon just plays the game they've been playing, and this is a 3-score win for the Ducks.
People have been asking me about this line, like, why is this number so big? Why is it 9.5? Why is it 10? And I've told them, I said, I think it's a reaction to a couple of things. Number one, just how dominant Oregon has been since that game and how their power rating Chris Andrews at South Point has them power rated second in the country behind
Oregon. Is an Oregon fan. I mean, I'm sure a lot of fans feel this way. Like, that feels a little bit too much for me.
That seemed to be the reaction from a lot of people, which I even said this to Chris. I said, the fact that the majority of people thought that was ridiculous makes me believe that you've got it right.
Yes.
And then the other thing was, I think we came out of that first game kind of, said it at the time that Oregon was
They outgained them.
Kind of the better team.
Better on third down. They won in the trenches. The Washington thing is interesting because, their defense is 89th in the country on third down, but then, 25th on fourth down. They've faced 33 fourth downs this season, and I think have only allowed 13 to be converted. So what is it? Is their third down defense just bad? Their fourth down defense gets better? Like, what is the reason? They're 111th in yards per drive allowed, but only 52nd in points per drive. So is that because you force a bunch of turnovers? Is that just Washington State?
What factor?
You know, like it just doesn't make. Eventually, those numbers sort of they come back to earth a little bit. So I think it's this game. Obviously, I have a big rooting interest in it. I'm just ready for the game to happen.
It's so funny because there's a site that says that like the luck. I want to get his last name right. It's collegefootballdata.com.
Yeah, the luck factor.
Bill Radjuski, Radjuski, I guess that's his name. The luckiest teams based on post-game win expectancy. Number one is Oklahoma State. Number two is Fresno State. Number three is Washington.
Yeah, because the post-game win expectancy, I think they've had since their bye week, week five, they've had zero that have been 100%. I think they've not even had any that have been like up in the above 75. I can look at what SP Plus has for Bill Conley because I can get that information. Also, too, like the last two games, Oregon's lost by three against Washington. They had a win expectancy in the fourth quarter of 90% or higher at some point in that game. So Oregon's had to finish this game. Will be fun. I'm just excited. Like, I'm not nervous. I'm not nervous at all, man. I just want to play this game and get it done with and move it along to hopefully bigger and better things and get Bo Nix's Heisman. We cover all the championship games in the gambling group chat, because that's what we do on this show. There's not a lot of them. We hit all angles of them. We have some props in those as well. But Bear, you have one other wager that's not in the Power Five conference.
The bigger game in Allegiant Stadium. Las Vegas.
Here's Bear's one wager for now until we get to our best bets at the end of the show. And again, gambling group chat, we cover a lot of the bigger games. It is the Mountain West Championship game. It's in Allegiant Stadium. It's UNLV. It's Boise State. Boise State's favored by 2.5. The total is 59. UNLV is 9-3, 6-2 in the Mountain West. They're 10-2 against the spread. Boise State is 7-5 in conference. 7-5. 6-2 in conference. I can't read today. And 6-4-2 against the spread. This game, a de facto home game for UNLV here. The Mountain West deciding the conference championship by the BCS style computer system here. Where are you going here?
And UNLV's kind of caught some shrapnel for that, for getting into this game after coming off with a loss to San Jose State. But I think that's going to be a powerful motivating factor. I think at the same time, the midseason firing of Andy Avalos has kind of given Boise a little bit of a boost, and they've certainly found their footing since then and gotten things right, and the team has responded to the coaching change. But I think over the course of the entire season, UNLV's been the better team. Yeah. So I played Michigan tougher than most Big Ten teams did. So I think UNLV is a small underdog here, is the right side. I think Barry Odom's done an awesome job here. I think he'll be able to figure out that Boise offense, which is it's more primarily of a run-based offense. Yeah. So I took the Rebels plus the points here.
I think this is the way I would go in this one as well. All the factors you listed, Boise State offensively too, kind of like up and down, right? Some good, some bad. Defensively, regressed a little bit. Obviously, no Avalos there, no head coach, interim status right now for Boise State. And UNLV, again, they're 10-2 against a spread for a reason, right? Vegas, I think, has mispriced them a little bit. Mm-hmm. Back-to-back nights at Allegiant Stadium. Is it turf? You think turf for both games? You think they go grass for Pac-12 and turf for Mountain West?
I think they'll go
turf both.
I think they'll go turf both.
Turf both, yeah.
It's amazing though to be out there and see how they wheel the grass in there. It's awesome.
It's a great stadium. I've been there. Pac-12 Media Day was there this year. So I was able to see that. So that's it for Bear for now, guys. Good wager. UNLV plus +2.5. We will have best bets later. Gambling group chat. We cover this all. Cover all the Power Five. We cover Heisman. We cover favorite prop bets. We do hit some of the other games. Sammy might have an FCS play for this weekend. We do all of that in the gambling group chat. That is next. It's going to be Bear, Sammy P, Will Hill, and myself. Here's gambling group chat.
Back with the gambling group chat, the final regular season or pre-bowl gambling group chat, I should say. And so much talk about the rankings and the playoff. Let's actually talk about the games before we get to the playoff here. I mean, I guess we may as well start on Friday night. Like, I wore my green to support Jeff and the Ducks. I'm surprised Will and Sammy didn't get that memo.
We're in purple.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, he's got that Pennix Heisman ticket that he's still hanging on to. So I think he probably wore the purple on purpose. If I know Sammy as well as I think I do. But we got Oregon, Washington, Friday night in Vegas. Tens are starting to pop. Total of 60. Well, the total varies a little bit. I see some 66s, 65.5. So I'll call it 10 and 66 because that's what Circa's going with. So, Sammy, it feels like it's getting a little out of control here with this Oregon level. I think Oregon's great, but 10 against a team that they already lost to earlier this year?
This is a Stardust shirt, by the way. It's not a Washington.
That is beautiful.
Yeah. All right. Let's just iron that out. Look, I'm the last person on this show that can talk about Oregon because I was the last one on the Oregon futures train. You guys all have better numbers than I do. But I want to go back to the conversation before the final regular season game and where this line was going to be and what the future price was going to do, because they were 7-1 to win the whole thing before the Oregon State game. And I think we all thought they were going to win that game. But then the question was, what would Washington do? And they could have lost to Washington State. And after that game, I was fighting with people on Twitter who were like, oh, the line's going to be 6. And I thought, did we not just watch Oregon and Washington? And this is what happens now. The overreaction is real. Everybody is now, I mean, you thought the deli guy liked Oregon. Everybody likes Oregon in this game. So we're at 10. And what was the line a month ago, Will? 4.5 on the look ahead. So we have completely jumped the shark on Oregon. Obviously, we all want the Ducks to win and keep our futures alive. I don't want to lay 10, though. That ain't happening.
Yeah, I don't want to lay 10 either. And I'm sure that, you know, there's some 9.5s out there, but Bear used this expression a lot, a dog with fleas. And I think people are going to see the Washington, they're undefeated. They beat them already. They're getting so many points. That means they're the right side. I'm not so sure. And we use the word overreaction. Is it an overreaction or is it just a reaction? Is it just an adjustment? Because Oregon's looked great. They've won. They've won by margin. Washington has been dying to lose. If Ward just runs on third down, Washington State's going to win that game last week. They're going to be in field goal range. They can bleed the clock. Penix has been dying to throw the ball away. He was dying to throw it away on that last possession. He has not looked healthy. Who knows? You know, there's some whispers about his health. Washington now is on a short week. Oregon gets the extra day of rest. I have Oregon futures, so I have no appetite to lay the 10. I say if you have nothing in pocket, I mean, why lay the 10 when you can just bet? Let's just put it this way. Oregon, everyone's going to be watching them tomorrow night, on Friday night. If they win and they win big, don't you just bet Knicks at -145 or so to win the Heisman? How is there a scenario where Oregon wins and wins going away and Knicks doesn't win this award?
I think there might be, just because of the sheer volume of the numbers that, Jaden Daniels has. I think...
Well, it depends on, in my opinion, on when people vote. If they vote this week, it's probably for Jaden Daniels. If they vote after the game, it's for Bo Nix, right? So if there's 1,000 Heisman voters, I think, Bear, something like that, it's insane amount of numbers. If you vote this week, I think you give it to Daniels. And if you vote after the game and Oregon wins, I think those votes will go to Bo Nix. The people that are waiting will wait to vote for Bo Nix.
Yeah, I think Will's right. There are ways to play this game like that where you can create some value on other markets where you could get Oregon to win. Because I do think you're right. I'm not a voter. I've said that multiple times. If I had a vote, I'd vote for Jaden Daniels. But I don't know why anybody would vote right now. Just at least watch the game, see what happens. Because there is a school of thought out there that if Knicks wins the Pac-12 title and has a good game, that he should win. And I'm sure there are people. The funny thing with the Heisman is we're not even having this conversation if neighbors hold on to that ball in the end zone for LSU Ole Miss. Like a 10-2 LSU team, if they win that game, Daniels, it's wrapped up. It's in the bag. So, but you're right. There probably are ways to play this game. Are there any derivatives in there? Any props or anything that anybody has seen that they might like better than the Sider total? Being that I will admit I did play a couple of weeks ago. I did play Washington +7, because like you said, Sammy, like when it got to 7, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to get a better number than that. And here we are sitting at 10, just up against the Oregon futures. So I have Washington +7 as a little bit of a hedge against my futures. But anything else in this game that anybody is?
Well, I like the Oregon wide receiver props. I like Oregon wide receiver props to go over in this game. Washington's pass defense, they give up a ton of yards. They don't tackle very well. And if I don't know when this will post, if it will post at all. But a Bo Nix rushing prop, it's to me, this is the game, right? He has not rushed much this season. He had a rush touchdown to Oregon State when they played Utah earlier this season at Utah. He got the ball on third and fourth down. They ran him a little bit more. This feels like the game where you've been waiting all season. They purposely have not run Bo Nix. And now this is the game, right? You have to win this game, Pac-12 championship, where I think they start running Bo Nix more. So if something pops up this week, to take Bo Nix as a rushing prop. I haven't found one yet as we're recording this on Thursday morning. I think that's a good way to play this game.
I love that because quarterback runs are like the most efficient play in football, but like week four against, I don't know, Vanderbilt or some bad team, you're not going to run your quarterback 20 times. It's just not a sustainable way to play your season. But hey, this is the championship break glass in case of emergency. Everything's on the line. So I think quarterback rushing props over, whether it's Nix, Milrow, some of these quarterbacks that run, I think it's rarely wrong to play the over. And I was just going to go back, Bear, you were talking about derivatives. I know we talked about this before, but I don't think we could find a book that does it. You can't play, and I can't bet Heisman in Connecticut, as we know, Bear, but can you parlay Washington on the money line with Daniels to win the Heisman? Because that would be super correlated. I don't think you can, but some of these books let you parlay the awards. It's weird. Yeah, it's weird. Some of the things, as we, you know, on the NFL show, I'm sure we'll talk about, you know, parlaying some of these awards, but that would be one that's obviously certainly correlated. But again, can't do that in Connecticut. Yeah. Not sure if you can do it anywhere.
Yeah, we're in New York right now. I can't bet Heisman right here either. But I remember a couple of weeks ago when we talked about this with the LSU-Alabama game, I was like, I wonder if I can bet LSU to beat Alabama and bet Jaden Daniels win the Heisman. And you couldn't, obviously. I can't imagine that someone would let you do that. But I will try later when I get to Indiana, because Indiana, I think, is a much better state.
Never.
Actually, I know it is, because that's where I made – that's where I bet my Jaden Daniels future 35-1 Notre Dame USC week. I was in Indiana. That's where I made it. So I know you can bet the Heisman in Indiana. I will report back with an answer. So we'll flip over to Saturday. And first game on Saturday, the Big 12 game, Texas now up to 15 against Oklahoma State, which is super fortunate to be here after nearly blowing that, coming back from a big deficit against BYU, then nearly blowing it. I see Texas 15 and 55. Sammy, we'll start with you. I mean, obviously, people knowing Texas needs the game and to win by margin. Oklahoma State's kind of been hit or miss all year. It's a weird year. Gundy won Coach of the Year in the Big 12. They won so many one-score games, but they got blown out at home by South Alabama, and they lost by 42 at UCF, and that's your Big 12 Coach of the Year. But they're here again, despite losing. Like, really, you look at them on paper and playing three quarterbacks early in the year, and how the hell are they here? So you got to give them credit. You got to give this team credit. But I don't know. They didn't play in the regular season. I don't know if I want any part of Oklahoma State here. It would be Texas laying the number or pass here for me. As much as attractive normally as a two-touchdown underdog would be. But I just think Texas, they're healthy now. The way they played last week against Texas Tech, other than Brooks bringing up it, but the Baxter's fine, and they're going to be okay with him. They're so much better in the passing game now. Defensively, I think they're going to give Oklahoma State a ton of problems. So I don't have a Texas minus 15 in my pocket right now, but I think by game time, I might. You think anything in this game, Sam?
I'm going to let Will take the total because I don't want to steal his thunder there. I tend to agree with what he's going to say about the total. But I've got Texas 121, Oklahoma State 104. So that's a 17-point edge on a neutral. Not much of an edge at the window because you're seeing, you know, mostly like 15, 16 now. I think it's going to keep going too as we get closer to the weekend. I've just always been cognizant of these big dogs conference weekend. You know, like the Iowas of the world, the Oklahoma States of the world. Wow, that's a lot of points. And then they're getting destroyed in the second quarter. And then, you know, when teams are down 28-3, it gets a lot worse. And I will say this. This is that weekend where the elite teams, if they get a lead, they step on your throat. And there are a lot of people that will chase bad numbers down the rabbit hole. Like, let's say Iowa goes down 21-0. Ooh, that live number's 27.5 now. Ooh, that's a big number. And then it's 35-0 in the third quarter. I feel like this is a very similar game with the Pokes, where if they don't get ahead, they're going to get annihilated. So I lean to Texas. Don't love these big numbers, but I would probably lay it before I took it.
Yeah, I don't love the side. I mean, my favorite bet here, my favorite bet maybe of the weekend, is the over this game. I just think Oklahoma State plays with some pace. I don't like their secondary. I think that's a total mismatch, the Texas receivers versus that Oklahoma State secondary. And if you're going to move the ball in Texas, like if you get behind, the way to do it isn't running, it's throwing. So I think we're going to see some offense. And like you said, Sammy, if Texas is up 14 at midfield with 5-6 minutes to go, most teams just run it three times and punt to preserve the win. I think Texas, you know, is going to be looking for style points, dressed to impress here. They stick one in late to impress the committee. Remember, they're the first game of the weekend, so they don't know what Florida State has done in terms of, you know, trying to impress to get in here. So to me, Texas and the over is correlated. I just think Texas is going to score a ton of points. I don't think Oklahoma State can cover them. To me, this game goes over.
I like the overplay. I do think this game, as you guys have mentioned, could go very poorly for Oklahoma State pretty quickly. If they can't run the football, which is their bread and butter, right? Gordon has almost 1,600 yards. He's averaging 6.5 yards a carry. If they can't run the football, which is tough against this Texas defensive line, that's outstanding. And if you're very one-dimensional on offense against Texas, probably not a good spot to be in. It could get ugly very fast. And Texas, the style points, as everyone has mentioned, they need this, right? Look at the standings right now. We're going to talk about it soon. They're behind Oregon. They need the style points of this win to win this game, you know, by 3, 4, 5 touchdowns. Even 5 feels a lot. It's something they're going to keep trying to do. So I like Texas in this game. I just think Oklahoma State is too limited offensively to really test Texas. If you want to get in a throwing game, be my guest, but that's not what they want to do. That's not their bread and butter. They want to run the football. They want to make it easier on their quarterback, and Texas will not let them run the football.
But it looks like Texas team total over 35.5 is -110. And then you can get the 30. If you can go over 34.5 at -125, over 34.5 at -125, I feel like is a good number to have that 35 in pocket. So I think we're all kind of on the same page here. But moving ahead to SEC game, the big one in Atlanta. We saw this open at 3 circa a few weeks back. It's been bet up. There's a 6.5 right now. I'm seeing a bookmaker. There's a 6 at Bet Online, and there's pretty much 5.5 everywhere else. So, but we'll see if the 6.5s are gonna come back down, or if the 5.5s are on their way up. I haven't really been charting this. This feels like one of those games, at least in me, looking at both teams and knowing the history of this rivalry, where either Georgia wins by double digits or Alabama pulls the outright upset. I know Bauer still isn't fully healthy after the ankle surgery. I think he's still feeling some pain, but Mims is back on the offensive line. I know everybody's talking about how Alabama's been great since the South Florida game and winning all these games, and Milroe has been awesome, but they've had a couple of games against inferior teams, the Arkansas game, and then last week against Auburn where they miraculously won. I wonder if that puts them in a better position to pull an upset this week after getting a bad game against your rival out of the way. Now you're in Atlanta with, who knows, maybe a spot in the playoff at stake here if you do win, depending on what happens in the other games. I guess if you forced me to make a bet on this game, I would play Georgia minus the points. I don't love it because I do think there are no real result here would surprise me, because I do think Alabama is capable of winning the game. Will, I know you and I both got a really good number on Georgia. I think 110 to win the SEC it was back before the year. So maybe I'll take some Alabama plus the whatever it is on the money line now. I didn't see what the heck it is. Plus 180 on the money line. Maybe I'll take some Bama money line up against that. Are you going to do anything with that SEC title bet from the beginning of the year here?
You're welcome, by the way. You're lying on the beach, relaxing. I'm grinding, looking for numbers in the summer. I mean, one of us has got to work around here. I might take the 6, 6.5, try to middle it. We were texting about this number, like, you think we'll get a 7? And we both agreed 6.5 was probably the tip of the market. So maybe you can get a cheap 7 -120. I think it's like a 28-24 game, which does go against what you say, where, you know, I could see a scenario where Georgia wins but don't cover. Isn't it sort of eerily similar to 2 years ago where Bryce Young on the final drive pulls the game out of the fire? Bigsby doesn't go, does go out of bounds. He doesn't go down. And then all of a sudden, Bama's a 6-point dog and they have no shot. And they actually steamrolled Georgia in that game, I think 141-24. So I like the under here. I just think both teams, their path for success is running the ball. Georgia is good on defense. They're not great. You can run it a little bit on them. We've seen that. Even Bama, I think Auburn had some success running it last week against Bama. So if both teams' approaches to run the ball, that's going to move the clock a little bit. Both these coaches, I think, are a little bit conservative by nature, both defensive coaches. So if it's like, you know, fourth and two at midfield, I don't know how aggressive these teams are going to be, especially early. So I think there's, with these big games, there's usually a feeling out process. So 54 and a half, 55, it's around there. I would play the under. These games on these fast tracks have trended over, but it's not the same Bama team in terms of the skill and explosiveness that we've seen in the past, you know, half a decade or so. So to me, Georgia wins a close game. It stays under.
I agree with that too. I was talking to guys at the Superbook, and they said some of their sharpest accounts hit under when it was 55. We're seeing some shops as low as 53 and a half. A lot of 54 and a half, obviously get the best number per usual. You always want to have the right number, go under the high numbers and over the low numbers. I've got a couple stats for you. Peter Burns tweeted this out. Nick Saban is 10-1 in SEC championship games. Saban's also won 16 straight games in the city of Atlanta. Now, trends don't pay the rent, but those two certainly help, right? And if I had a Georgia future like you guys did, I would take the six. Because then you can middle that, right? You got Georgia to win. You got Bama plus six. These quarterbacks are a lot different than they were last year when you had Stetson Bennett, the vet, who got, you know, picked up by an NFL team. Then you had Bryce Young. These quarterbacks are just not that same caliber. Milroe throws a pretty decent deep ball, but he's pretty average in the mid-range game. And I still don't know, guys, if we know what Carson Beck is. He could have a great future in college football, could be an NFL quarterback for all I know. But how many really good defenses has Georgia faced this year? I mean, Georgia got Tennessee, Georgia got Ole Miss, pretty sure Georgia played Missouri. The Alabama defense over a course of a season generally gets better, and that Bama defense is a lot better in December than it was in September.
To me, this game comes down to Carson Beck. If Carson Beck is good, Georgia wins this by a lot. If he's better than Milroe, look, Milroe offensively can hit the deep pass with the best of them. But as Sammy mentions, it's an intermediate game, right? Georgia says, look, man, we're just not going to let you throw the ball deep. We're going to play safeties deep. It's not going to happen. We're going to press. We're going to try to pressure you and force you to throw underneath. Not what he does well. If Carson Beck is on, if he's on, and everything you guys have said is absolutely true about the defenses they face, but if he is on, guys, I think Georgia can score a ton of points in this game, and this game will be a blowout. And I don't know how you play that live because you won't get a great number if Georgia's up big at some point. But I think if the quarterbacks, if Beck elevates himself and Milroe just is who he is, I think Georgia wins this game pretty handily. But I don't know if there's a wager to make on that before the game. I mean, maybe a Beck over for passing, which again, but if he's not on, then this will be a close game and Alabama will cover the 6.5.
Yeah, I think both Will and Sammy have talked me into taking a little Bama plus the best number that I can find.
These teams are both built to play each other.
Yes. Oh,
like Georgia's built to play Alabama. Bama's built to play Georgia. So on paper, I mean, the 6.5 is a good number if you have two teams that are equally similar. Again, what sets these teams apart, I think that Georgia is slightly better on the roster, and their quarterback, if he is on, is better than Milroe. But look, the X factor, I know I'm talking in circles sometimes here, is if Milroe can run the football, I mean, that's a huge X factor, right? Like if he's able to break the pocket and make plays, Alabama can move the football down the field in ways that Georgia can't do, right? Because Beck's not going to be that player. So, I mean, I think I would lean the points if you're asking me to take a wager on this game. But I do think, again, if Beck is on, it might be a long day for Alabama.
That's why I have really no scenario here. No result would surprise me. What would surprise me is Iowa scoring against Michigan. Wolverines looks like we're up to 22 in most places, total of 35 here. I did have a play in this game. I do like the under 35. Looks like South Point and Bookmaker both have 35.5 as of right now. So unfortunately, I can't get over to see Chrissy and the boys at the South Point. But I just see this as maybe a 27-7 type of game. I don't think Michigan, I mean, I would lay the points if I had to play a side in the game, but I just don't see a scenario where Iowa hits double figures. I mean, if they score a touchdown, I think they're extremely fortunate. It would have to be a Michigan turnover on the other side of the field, or a big punt return, or a penalty, or something that put Iowa in position to be able to work with a short field. But I think off of the game last week, off of all of the emotion and everything that's gone on with Michigan over the last month, maybe it's kind of a, okay, we got here. We know we tower over Iowa in terms of skill and ability. We'll just go out. We'll just win the surest way, run the ball right down their throat, control the clock, and just get out of here safe with a nice, comfortable, easy win. So I like the under 35, and if I had to play a side, I'd lay the 22. Anything on this one, Will?
No, I think you put it well, where it's like a golfer that's on the 18th hole. Just don't hit it in the water and you win the tournament. So run the ball, be conservative. That would keep the scoring down. That would lean you to the dog. That would lean you to the under. There's an under 7.5 first quarter, because the one thing that concerns me, if Iowa does get down 14-0, 17-0 pretty early like we expect, you don't want a scenario where Iowa's throwing the ball to catch up, because that's where things can unravel. Pick sixes, that's where, you know, strip sacks, that's where it can get a little wonky. Iowa's good against the run. They're good in the red zone defensively, so maybe they keep this game close for a half, so it would be under anything. It's not enough for me to take the points. If it keeps going up, maybe I just either plug my nose and think about Iowa. That's not a pleasant way to spend your Saturday evening in their room for not Iowa, but I like your under angle, though.
We got to talk about the first half total, right? I mean, I'm going there. I'm betting under 0.5 in the first
half.
Do it. I'm doing it. I don't give a damn. We couldn't get Iowa to move the ball against Minnesota, Northwestern, Illinois, Nebraska. Now they got to face the best defense in the country. I mean, look, sure, Iowa could kick a field goal in the final minutes of the second quarter, and that could ruin my bet. But more times than not, I think it's mathematically advantageous to take the under in the first half for Iowa, because Michigan is basically going to bully ball its way to the 50 and then play punt and then have Iowa keep, you know, trying to move the ball 90 yards down the field. This is going to be an ugly field position game. We give a lot of respect to Iowa's defense, but how many yards? Here's the better question. How many yards does Iowa have at the half? 28? Something like that. I mean, they can't throw it. They're not going to be able to run it. I feel bad for Iowa people, but this is such a step up in competition. And the West, I repeat, was horrible this year. I'm not too fazed about a look ahead. Michigan's ready to go, guys. They're ready.
Go ahead, guys.
The prop for Iowa's quarterback for passing yards is 105.5.
Oh, there's no way.
There's
no way.
Iowa played one team this year comparable to Michigan. They lost 31-0 to Penn State. 31-0 to Penn State. Like, they're just not. That's the exact score in this game. Like, it's 31-0. And here's the thing. Do you remember Michigan in the second half of Penn State game just ran the ball the entire second half? They're going to do the exact same thing here, because the worst thing that can happen for them,
correct,
is McCarthy throwing an interception. So worst thing that can happen, just run the football. Sammy's mentioned, just punt it back and play the field position game, because they're not going to score points. So, I mean, 24-0, 31-0, 27-0, 28-0. Like, I would lay it with Michigan and take the under. I think both of those are going to happen. And Michigan's not going to allow a late touchdown either. Like, the pride in that in that group, the starters will play most of the game, I would imagine. There's no game next week to rest for. They're going to play the entire game. No backups are coming in. And I don't think there's a letdown because Harbaugh's back. I don't think there's a letdown because of beating Ohio State. They're not a team that plays like that. So I lay with Michigan and take the under. I think both are happening.
It's funny. Sammy referred to like feeling bad for the Iowa fans. Like, it made me immediately think of the 2016 Rose Bowl. Remember, they had that similar type season in 2015 where they found their way into the Big Ten championship game and lost to Michigan State and wound up making the playoff. And like, I remember being at the Rose Bowl that day and all black and gold everywhere, all these people. And I think the game was over against Stanford like a minute into the game.
McCaffrey just thought, to the house right away.
All these poor people that spent God only knows how much money on flights and tickets and what they sacrificed to get there to see Iowa
in the Rose Bowl.
And it was 51-7 or whatever the hell.
I was at the Big Ten championship game a couple years ago when Michigan beat Iowa 42-3, I think it was. And those poor Iowa fans, same thing. Like, they were at halftime, their side of the field was gone. They just had all left and all that time and money to get there and nothing.
But that's kind of a whole, it's like, do you know though? Was it like, I wonder, like, if they know going into this, like, They know what's coming.
They're 22
right? They have to know what's coming.
Of course they do. But they're still 10-2 though, and a lot of programs. How many people would take 10-2 right now?
That's the amazing thing. How the hell is this team 10-2? Which is a entirely different.
You really think they flew factor. From Iowa though? I think half the people drove because they got to stop at the come and go. They got to get the breakfast pizza at Casey's. They got to pile into the truck and then they drive to California.
But going to the Rose Bowl is worth it though.
Oh, absolutely.
One time in your life.
Absolutely.
It's the best venue there is.
It's a great scene. And yeah. I wrote about it in my essay last week for Big Noon about the sunset behind San Gabriel Mountains in that beautiful setting. What's a beautiful setting as well is Charlotte, North Carolina, Jeff.
Ah, it is.
The ACC championship game where I guess this is the one that ultimately is going to determine a lot. And Florida State, sans Jordan Travis, 2.5-point favorite, totals 47.5 pretty much everywhere. And I don't even know where to start here. Like you look at last week.
You throw out Louisville last week.
Here's the thing. He allowed a kick return for a touchdown, turned the ball over three times, twice inside their own territory, which allowed 10 UK points, outgained Kentucky by 115 yards. Florida State averaged less than 4 yards a play, 4-14 on third down. It was complete meltdown by Florida that allowed Florida State to win the game. Like,
look, you have to throw.
This is what Florida State's hearing though all week about how they don't belong and people idiots like me saying they're not a top four team, but without Jordan Travis, and I honestly believe that they're not. But that's going to motivate them, I think, in this spot to go out.
Okay, it motivates
getting
them.
I'm getting
like,
cut off
to a certain point. And then the game starts, and the realization comes together that we can't move the football in offense.
Broadmaker, quarterback.
Yeah, and so that only helps you to prepare for the game. That after the game, you get to celebrate and say, see, we told you so. But, like, from quarter one to quarter four, are you going to move the football? All right, Louisville played Notre Dame and shut down their rushing attack. If you're one-dimensional against any good football team, Louisville, look, again, throughout last week, it was their rival. They had already clinched a spot in this game. They played terribly. Like, to me, you just throw that game out. If Florida State cannot run the football, are they going to move the football at all? And the answer is no. And this is the best offense Florida State has played since when, Bear? And forever? Like, Louisville can move the football. So I think Louisville wins this game. I mean, the line's 2.5 for a reason, guys, right? I mean, I think this is very clear that this game is close to a coin flip. And I'm taking the sort of the healthier offense right now with a decent defense in Louisville.
Can I just, before I am going to read the offenses that Florida State has played lately. Florida with a backup quarterback, Miami with a backup quarterback, Pitt, Wake Forest, Duke without Riley Leonard.
You put half the game, right? Or somebody who's come back from injury in that game?
Syracuse,
ooh.
Virginia Tech. God, the ACC was absolute dog crap this year. I mean, I know, you look at the Sagarin ratings, and it is the worst Power 5 league. Wow, there. I mean, we talk about the Big Ten West having some bad offenses. Good God, the ACC was terrible. Okay, Sammy, on to you. I'm sorry.
I was laughing. Jeff just alluded to it after the game when Florida State came back and beat Florida, and they were interviewing Jared Verse at midfield, and he's like, "Yeah, we had faith in the quarterback." I'm like, "Did you watch the game, bro? Like, what are you talking? You had faith in him to do what? He couldn't move the ball for three quarters. Now, look, more reps is probably better." Going forward, he's going to have a little bit more confidence, I would think, because that was a must-win game. But so is this. I mean, this is Florida State's last stand. If they lose this, forget it. We don't have the conversation about are they deserving or are they worthy. This total also got absolutely ransacked. 53.5 on the open to 47.5. So clearly the market is shorting points. I'd probably take 2.5 with Louisville. I know I could have got a better number, but Jeff Brohm this year, who would have thought that Louisville would be live to win? Not a lot of things had to go their way, but everybody, every pundit, every magazine, every story before the season was Florida State or Clemson. Or Florida State. And Louisville just did what it had to do. And Brohm turned that thing around in less than a calendar year. It's been an outstanding season for Louisville.
Yeah, it's been all Louisville money, like you mentioned. I think the line opened, 4.5, 5, and it's just going down, down, down through the key number at 2.5. I kind of like Florida State. I think they can play the us against the world thing. They still have pros at the skill guys. They still have a really good coach. Now, Louisville does too, but Florida State has pros in the front seven on defense. I thought the defense played a little better last week. And we can say, look, it was a backup quarterback last week. Florida just completely unraveled, which is true. But give them credit. 12-0 in the swamp, on the road, backup quarterback. To come back and win that game and actually cover this, right? That was a tough beat if you had Florida. That's a good win. That's not an easy win. A lot of teams would crumble there. They did show some toughness. And we talk about, do they deserve it? Are they one of the four best? Which we know they're not. But that was still a gutty win. So I'm a little contrarian here. I think this money line's a little cheap. There's some 125s out there on the money line. I could see a scenario where Saturday night to Sunday morning, it's a lot of talk radio of should they, will they, what's going to happen. I kind of think Florida State's going to win this game.
It's funny because I went back and after that game, it's just kind of Florida is the type of season that they had. And they beat four Power Five teams this year. Four FBS teams, rather. A couple of them were 3-9 Charlotte and 2-10 Vandy. Like that Florida team just had an absolute debacle of a season. So let's get into it then. Like we'll talk about these scenarios. Assume Florida State, assume all the favorites win. Georgia wins, Oregon wins, Michigan wins, Florida State wins, Texas wins. There we are. What are we doing on Saturday night, Sunday morning in the committee room? I'm probably the wrong person to ask because I look at what the committee says. It's in the Book Oregon said it all week. We talk about deserving. We talk about the best four. We talk about it's in there. Injuries and player availability are all part of the evaluation process and the criteria. If you're using those two things, like there's no way I can say Florida State right now is one of the best four teams in the country. Is it cruel? Yeah. Is it harsh? Yes. But ultimately, it's never been about the best four in the playoff, despite what the committee tells you. They've put deserving in there. You know what deserving has gotten us? Deserving has gotten Michigan State getting blown out by Alabama, Oklahoma getting blown out by LSU, Washington getting blown out, Cincinnati getting blown out. That's what deserving has gotten you by putting in this team with the zero in the loss column because they won all their games. The Florida State resume is not what happened the first 11 games. The Florida State resume is the team that they had against Florida and the team that may, look, maybe they'll go out Saturday night in Charlotte and play great. But I just have a hard time under any scenario thinking Florida State's one of the best four teams in the country. And I know that sounds a little bit cruel to everybody else on that roster, but you compare them to Texas, you compare them to Oregon, you compare them to Ohio State. Like I asked Chris Andrews earlier, I was curious what the numbers would be. Like, yeah, Florida State is a 15-point dog against Georgia and a 12-point dog against Michigan. Like 15, we don't need another game like that. Texas will be favored by 7 points over Florida State. So again, I know spreads are not truly like the end all of better. It's usually designed to try and get money on both sides, but they're based in power ratings and the numbers are telling you that right there. If you want to put Florida State in because you think they're one of the best four teams, fine. I'll disagree with you, but I'll be like, okay, they won all their games. They're in. Fine. I don't feel like I won't be pounding the table that the committee screwed up. It's an injustice that Texas didn't get in. I will feel that Texas should have gotten in. But it's not going to be like I'm sitting here going nuts about it.
I agree with everything you said, but here's the reality. If Florida State goes 13-0, they're in the playoff. Like, I'm sorry. That's what's going to happen. You're 13-0, Power 5 conference champion. You're into the playoff. And the debate will become Oregon or Texas in this scenario where all the favorites win, right? And look, obviously I'm an Oregon guy. If Oregon's fifth right now, as they are, and they beat the third place team, which is Washington, I don't know how they don't go to number three, right? In this situation. And Texas, I understand. You played better teams possibly, your strength of schedule, blah, 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 blah. Like I get the argument that's there, but the committee has told us guys now for 4 weeks that they think Oregon is better than Texas. And if Oregon beats the third ranked team, I can't imagine that they get jumped by Texas in this scenario. Now, the debate might be Texas and Florida State for the committee, right? If Oregon wins and you go Texas, Florida State for four. But I just don't see, you know, a way for Oregon to beat Washington and the scenario laid out that we have now and not get into the playoff. Now, if Alabama beats Georgia, all bets are off. I don't know what's going to happen then. That makes it obviously tough for the committee. So, Will, I think Oregon's in if they win, and then Florida State's in if they win. If Florida State loses, then maybe the opportunity for Texas or Alabama comes in. That's how I see the committee going on Sunday.
We're so close to just getting a dream Final Four, just such a balanced, competitive, as good a Final Four as we have. If it's Georgia, Michigan, Oregon, Texas, regionally it makes sense. It's balanced. All the games would be good. All the matchups would be fun. I tend to think Jeff is right, though, that if Florida State's going to win, that they put them in. Is there a human element to this where the committee just, hey, path of least resistance?
Absolutely.
What do we get the least crap for? What's the least controversial in terms of like self-interest? All right, we put Florida State in. Hey, they went undefeated. What do you want me to do? And that's just look, people are going to complain no matter what. Texas is going to, whoever gets left out is going to say they deserve to be in. And it's going to get interesting next year when we're at 12 teams and, you know, these 15th and 16th teams try to get in. But I just think there's a path of least resistance where you say, hey, they're undefeated. We put them in. It's easy. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's Texas. That's a great playoff, but it'd be interesting. They'll repost odds, I would think, to make the playoffs. And if Florida State wins Saturday night, be interesting to check those odds. Those odds are usually correct.
Florida State deserves it, but I'll say what nobody else said. That game would suck. The game would suck if Florida State gets in. And I want to watch two really good games. I think Will started to paint the picture there. You have Oregon in the West. You have Texas in the South, Michigan in the Midwest, Georgia in the Southeast. You cover all the big factions of the country for the most part. You have two really good games where the lines are going to be tight. Yes, Florida State deserves to get in, but life isn't fair. I'm wearing glasses and a purple shirt. I look like Dilbert's son. Life isn't fair. Eventually, we need to get to a place where we can have two really good football games. And the best two football games are going to be the ones with Georgia, Michigan, Oregon, and Texas, period. I'm sorry, Florida State. It is what it is.
And I think it's also telling, too, that let's say Oregon were to win this game, that they wouldn't even move Florida State up to three. They keep them at four, so Georgia has the easier game, right?
Yeah.
And then move Oregon or someone else to three. Like the committee is telling you in the end result that they don't think Florida State's very good. Otherwise, they put them at three and let Michigan have that game. But they want the number one team, obviously, to have the easier game if it ends up having to be Florida State playing in that four spot. So the committee is sort of telling you all along that, you know, the Florida State is not very, they're good, not as good as the other teams, and they're at four for a reason.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. I said it earlier, that the ACC is the weakest of the Power Fives. Florida State's, the weakest power-rated team of all those.
I think Washington's below them now?
Yeah,
I saw Washington, in some Florida of them, State 12, Washington, okay. Washington 12, Florida State 11.
But yeah.
I hate that for Washington.
Despite, it's the what would I do versus what would the committee do. What would I do? I'm with Sammy, and like, they're not. But what Will said, there's a human element in there where it's like, whoever's on that committee, like, oh, we really wanted, they're 13-0. They deserve it. And I'll deserve to go to the window and lay 15 with Georgia and win 42-7.
But here's the thing, though, like, ultimately, obviously, the goal is to win all your football games. And if Correct. You don't put them in the playoff, you're basically saying that, like, in the end, that doesn't matter. I mean, that's the message you would send.
It doesn't matter, but it's not the same team.
I understand that. I totally get that. But they still have won all their football games. And, like, that, in the end, is the goal. If you're a Power 5 team, no matter what your schedule is, not a lot of finish are defeated for an obvious reason. But if you're able to run that table and the committee says, you know what, we're putting Texas in because Vegas has them rated higher than you guys are, you're basically saying that the games don't matter, right? I mean, like, in the end, that's what you're saying. And I think that's a message that they're probably not going to send.
We all agree, though, that Louisville beats Florida State, Texas wins the Big 12, Texas is in, right? There's no debate, like, with anybody else. Okay.
The doomsday scenario, obviously, well, Georgia Alabama lost, winning, would, Oregon yeah. winning. Yeah,
this is the scenario like I want. Like what happens if Alabama beats Georgia and those other teams win? Like, is that maybe a situation where Florida State wins?
Georgia's out. I mean, Georgia's in at four, I guess. Michigan's one, Alabama's two, Washington or
Pac-12,
Oregon's three, and Bama's four. I mean, Georgia's four,
and Florida State would be out then.
You got, wait, that's, you got what, that's Bama what I'm getting over at. Texas? You put Bama in over Texas? Texas beat Bama.
I'm with you. This is why this is where it gets tricky. Like, I don't think there's any scenario where you can have 12-1 SEC champion Alabama, 12-1 Big 12 champion Texas, and Alabama goes and Texas doesn't.
So that means Alabama is no SEC team?
Or Georgia stays in. Which, again, how could you do that? You've got 12-1 SEC champion Alabama, 12-1 non-SEC champion Georgia, Alabama beat him. It's like that's a scenario where you kind of maybe, do you have to figure out a way to take both Alabama and Texas?
Yes. Bama would absolutely have to be in. I mean, they're not leaving Bama out if they won this game. Bama would 100% be in, and you can't put Texas in. Yeah, you can't put Georgia over Texas because Texas beat Bama. Georgia wouldn't have in this scenario. Texas would be a conference champion. Georgia wouldn't be a conference champion. So Texas would have to go over Georgia. So yeah, it would be Texas, Michigan, Georgia, and Texas, Michigan, Bama, and Oregon.
No, Florida State would be an undefeated 13-0 probably.
I think that scenario might have Florida State like well on the outside.
Well, it's funny. Florida State, huh? Now Florida State's out, huh? Interesting. Oh,
sorry, I'm the one that thinks they should be out regardless.
I think they'll be in 13-0 over 12-1 Oregon. I'm telling you, right. I think they would be in. I'm not saying it'll be right, but I think they'll be in 13-0. You'd figure out everything else, and you have to reward Texas for beating Alabama in Alabama. So both Alabama and Texas will be in Michigan. And Oregon will be left out. Oregon will be 5 or 6, and they go play in the Alamo Bowl or whatever bowl's next up for the Pac-12.
I'm looking that forward to the 20.
Let's not even talk about that.
I've watched enough Pac-12 football now for my entire lifetime to know exactly how that's going to end up happening on Saturday night. I'll be in my house just begging Georgia to win that football game.
The funny thing is how we talk about it, like the Pac-12 has been the one conference championship game lately that has actually generated some upsets. So we talk about like which favorite is most vulnerable to lose, and I guess you throw Florida State out there.
Because Oregon beat Utah and Utah beat USC last season. So it's actually interesting in the rematch. It's happened a bunch of times in the Pac-12. Over the rematch, the winner of the first game has tended to win the second game as well. It's kind of interesting. Yeah. People in the rematch favors the losing team. It hasn't happened that way.
Right, so we ripped through all the Power Five conference title games. Are there any of the other group of five games out there that is striking anybody's fancy there? Will, do you have any plays in any of the other games?
It looks like a lot of points in the MAC. I mean, the MAC, I know everyone loves MACtion, but that has become a league that's really dropped off, and you're getting 8 in that one. That looks a little high. And I think tomorrow night, New Mexico State's getting 10.5. They've had a good season. They've been a covering machine. That 10.5 looks a little high too. So those two dogs, I think, are live to me. SMU Tulane's interesting. That number has really bounced around. Sammy, I don't know what you thought about that game or anything else, or if you have any FCS plays, Delaware or anything. I think he's on a third string quarterback. I'm sure you're scouting his junior high tape. But to me, those two dogs are interesting.
Yeah, the Fighting Blue Hens, right? Delaware.
Yes.
Love Delaware. Made a lot of money
going to Montana.
Oh, when Flacco was there, all they did was cover when Flacco was at Delaware. I did, Bear, before I get to the MAC, I did make a number for you just in case you were wondering. I know we just did a bunch of hypotheticals. If Colorado were to sneak into the playoff somehow, Colorado would be a 36-point dog against Michigan. 36 is the number.
Your commemorative SI Sportsman of the Year issue, autographed special gold-plated leafed edition framed is en route to Boston. Maybe I'll reroute the delivery and actually bring it to you in person. That way I can give you a nice little holiday gift there and ring in the new year on
gold-plated
a good
coin.
Note.
Ooh, we watching Fox News at midnight? I love gold-plated coins.
I was going to say,
I would probably take the points with Miami, Ohio. Toledo is a very good football team. Toledo has a very good roster. The issue with Toledo, and I know a lot of you that bet the MAC know this, Jason Candle's around a 35% success rate as a double-digit favorite. Now, this isn't double digits, but it's very close. We're seeing 8, 8.5. Big numbers are bad for Toledo, and they have been since he took over. And that's just the reality of the situation. they win these games, but they don't cover a lot of them. And I know what happened in 2018 has no effect on what happens in 2023. I think trends sometimes get sort of manipulated and then repurposed the way you want them to be. But that is a scary number to lay. Like, I would have been okay laying 6.5 with Toledo, but anything 8 or higher is just through that most key number in college football. And I would take the Red Hawks way quicker than I would take the Rockets laying a bigger number.
Good. I'm looking at the FCS schedule now because we'll tease you up there. Well, what a good North Dakota State at Montana State. That is a really good FCS playoff game.
What is the line next year for North Dakota State at Colorado week one? I think that's a week one matchup.
Do they play?
Yeah, I think it's week one. I think it's Bison Buffs week one next year. How about that?
What do we say? I wonder the Bison kind of are slipping a little bit. Like they're no longer the elite power that South Dakota State has taken over, and Montana State is their program has emerged as well.
Yep, it's they're hosting the North Dakota State Saturday, August 31st.
14 probably. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a ton of hype around. You know how the offseason hype machine will come back, and Shadur will be back, Hunter will be back, and then they'll bring in another full round of recruits after he badmouths the players and kicks the ones that he has on the team right now and runs them out.
Their schedule next year is a lot different than the Big 12 and the Pac 12, I'll tell you that.
In a good way or a bad way?
I mean, Cincinnati. Kansas has been better, obviously. Baylor, Kansas State, just different than the Pac-12. They'll win two conference games next year, I have a feeling.
Sportsman of the Year if it gets to a bowl next year. Time Magazine cover. All right, guys. Have a great weekend. We'll do it again next week. We'll preview some of the upcoming bowls, the first thoughts on the semifinals and anything else that pops up.
Did we want to do Thursday Night Football before? Do you want to do Thursday Night Football just quickly?
I blew the close.
Yeah, let's do it.
We should do Thursday Night Football. That must mean you really, really like something to remind me to get Thursday Night Football in here. You're dying to get something in. No, you're
Cowboys
fine. We have time.
Over 27.5. I just think there's some 27.5s. There's some 28.5s. Cowboys, their last three home games, 43, 45, 49 points. They've scored 30 plus six straight. The Cowboys are going to get their points here. I don't want to lay the 9. Obviously, it's a good teaser range, but Cowboys team total over for me.
By the way, I'm glad you did say that because I wanted to give you a big virtual hug and a pat on the back. Last week, Seahawks missed the playoffs, a plus 180 or whatever it was last when we were on air. And now it's what, minus 160?
And you got the Rams plus 490, which is now all of a sudden a great bet because the Browns are all beat up. So I text Bear about this. Oh, it'll find a way to lose. This is the negativity. He comes off on the air as this cheerful, likable guy. Like in real life, through text, he's just so miserable. Just a miserable person.
I actually am when it comes to that. I'm a very pessimistic thinker, but after having Sevilla lead 2-0 at home yesterday against PSV, they get sent off. They got a guy sent off, the 2-1, then own goal late to tie it. And then I was done right there. And then they wound up, I didn't care. I mean, and then they wound up losing the game anyway. But yeah, that was a hard one to stomach with the 2-0 lead at home, even down a man. To give that game away, but we bounce back with Sheffield under 1.5 team goals against Leicester. That worked out okay.
Congratulations,
and we got good with that.
On that so one, good. I'm glad you hit that.
You're welcome. You
thank you.
You're quite welcome. you may not want to lay the price that I did with the under 1.5 team goals. That can get a little pricey, but. Back, Sammy, anything on Seahawks Cowboys tonight before we talked about my
you
betting?
You just rattled off a lot of things. I have no idea what you're talking about. Those could be like biddy ball basketball teams for all I know, like third grade. I don't know what's going on. I like Dak to throw a pick, minus 110. Seattle likes to bring pressure, confuse coverage. I think he's primed to probably wing one. And I thought when you were dishing out virtual hugs, I thought Jeff Schwartz was going to barrel over there and give you a real hug. The look on his face, like he – you said hug, and I thought he was come over there and go for it.
I know. Bear needs a hug.
It's so funny. As literally as we're doing all this, I get a text from a buddy of mine. How does Daniels not win the Heisman? Knicks is favored. What am I missing? It makes me want to bet more on Daniels.
I mean, we've laid this out. It's very simple. If the voters wait till this weekend and Bo Nix plays very well, he will have a national spotlight on Friday night against a top five team, and he might win the award. If he doesn't play well, Daniels will win the award. People vote beforehand. Daniels will win the award. I mean, Daniels has played great this season. If Daniels wins the award, bravo. He's done a great job this year. Doesn't seem very complicated. That's what people are, the line is where it is because they think Oregon's going to win the game.
Okay. I think we got it all in now. I apologize for giving the premature close. Will, thank you for reminding me about the Thursday night NFL game, which I will be locked into tonight in Indy. Maybe a little room service, St. Elmo delivery, maybe. We'll see.
Ooh, shrimp cocktail on delivery? That's bold.
Yeah, that'd be very bold. That stuff is. I remember when week game day was in the Big Ten championship game. I think it was it might have been one of the Michigan State Ohio State years. We had Joey Chestnut on as a celebrity guest picker, and like one of the things we made him eat was like the shrimp cocktail and the sauce, and it was
delicious.
They actually like dared me to down a couple of them on the air as well, and I'm like, absolutely. I mean, how many do you want me to eat? So yeah, it was.
Clear the sinuses out.
It was about 4 degrees, so it was definitely needed. All right. On that note, nobody needs the visual of me eating shrimp cocktail in freezing Indianapolis in early December. So have a great weekend, guys. We'll do it again next week.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome back from the gambling group chat, Bear. I got out of that group chat that we think Iowa is scoring 0 points collectively.
Well, as long as, I think that's pretty much the
0 points for Iowa.
We joked about it all year long, but you really just, if you want to just really just sit there with your jaw wide open, like take a look at the Iowa offensive.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's simply.
It's unacceptable to be a Power Five team like Iowa not can have any sort of offense, but that's what they want. But look, they're 10-2 and they're in the Big Ten championship game. So, all right, Bear has one bet so far. Let's recap that. Then we'll get into our best bets for championship weekend. Bear is taking UNLV plus the 2.5 in the Mountain West championship game. That game is de facto home game for the running Rebels. All right, Bear, best bet. You mentioned earlier in gambling group chat what you're leaning. And yeah, this one I feel like is like not a no-brainer, but I don't know how else you play this game.
It's pretty obvious. Under 35.5 in the Big Ten game, Michigan-Iowa. As I talked about in the chat, I'd consider laying the points with Michigan, but I'd be shocked if Iowa scored more than 7 points in this game. It just feels like a 27-7 type of game where Michigan just kind of just slow, methodical, just runs the ball. It just kind of like it did in the second half in the Penn State, try and get McCarthy and healthier, avoid any more injuries like they unfortunately had in the Ohio State game. Maybe, like I said, they start a little slow, just coming up off of everything that's happened over the last 6 weeks or so, but Iowa is not a threat to win this game or score double digits. So I went under 35.5, and I may wind up with a little Michigan minus 21.5. Actually, I already have a Michigan minus 21.5 in pocket. So I anticipated this number going up to around 24, 25, but so I've got a little bit of wiggle room right now if I want to do something back, but I feel pretty good about Michigan.
Yeah, the only drawback to this wager is you could have a Dante Moore moment for J.J. McCarthy, and that would be the only way this happens.
Was that not the perfect like end to like the final official Pac-12 after dark game where Dante Moore came in and threw a pick in the end zone in the first play? Yes. Like that was just like perfect for that to happen. Wow, what a debacle that game.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about the total swing beating SC previous week, and the following week you lose to the Golden Bears.
Not just lose, you lost 33-7.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to go to my best bet. I'm staying in the Pac-12 conference. I was going to take Oregon minus the 9.5. I figured I'm not going to do that. We'll go Tez Johnson here in a prop over 75.5 receiving yards. He's their second wide receiver. He's had over this number now in four straight weeks. He's actually only 60 yards away from 1,000 yards this year, second wide receiver Bears. So he's been a big part of this offense. Since the Washington game, I think we've seen Oregon's passing offense kind of get expanded, and included that is Tez Johnson's ability to run after the catch has been great. And if Washington decides to say, hey, look, we're going to try to take Troy Franklin away, it's Tez Johnson game, man. So I think we're going to see a lot of catch and run from Tez, who is Bo Nix's stepbrother. Stepbrother.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they great have a, story. They have a great connection there. So give me Tez Johnson here over 75 and a half receiving yards. And again, I mentioned this earlier. If there's a Bo Nix rushing prop posted at some point, I would lean heavily to that as a second best bet, but it's not been posted yet.
Yeah, I'd check. Yeah, make sure you check out the column as well, because I know I alluded to it in the group chat. There might be a Texas minus 15 that finds its way into my account, or a Texas team total that finds its way into the account. So make sure you check out the column on FoxSports.com. Hasn't been a great season. We've
had fun though.
We've had fun. Hopefully the entertainment dollar is been worth it. Like I said, it's amazing how just 1 year everything clicks and you're 21 games over 500. This year you're 10 games under 500.
Yeah. So
it sucks, but I wish I could have had a little bit better luck. But hopefully we can find some winners this weekend on championship weekend, find some winners during the bowls, maybe some of those Oregon futures, conference futures, and whatever else. Heisman futures that we suggested play, and maybe that'll make up for a lot of the bad. So that's it for another final pre-bowl edition of the of Big Noon Kickoff's Bear Bets. Been a good run. Appreciate everybody. Appreciate you and Sammy and Will for the gambling group chat. That's always a fun. I like how it's now really become the majority of the pod. It takes up the largest amount of time because it's just good fun conversation. So. Big Noon Kickoff presents Bear Bets, another one in the books. Appreciate everybody's downloading, rating, reviewing, subscribing, checking us out on the YouTube channel as well. Always fun. We have a great production team that puts in a lot of great work with the graphics and production, so hopefully you would enjoy it as much as we do. Remember, the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.